We're reading from Mark 4, 1-9, and that's on page 1005. Praise the Lord. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord.
If it's possible to keep that last verse of the reading on the screen, because that's what we are thinking about for the next few minutes. I was thinking back to my days at Harrow County Secondary School for boys, and there's one biology lesson given by Mr. Neil that I'll always remember. Wasn't that one that you're thinking of? No. I thought you probably were. No, this was the one where he brought in a really technological bit of kit called the overhead projector. Many of you probably never heard of that or seen it. It's an amazing thing. But on the overhead projector, he had photos which were had the heading, "The Dispersal of Seeds." Did you ever have the biology lesson, "The Dispersal of Seeds"? Extraordinary. The first photo I remember was of a dandelion. How does a dandelion get out its seed? Well, the wind blows it, and dandelions cover the earth. There was plants whose seeds are dispersed by water. Did you know that? One of them's the coconut. The coconut, big seed, lands on water in a river or the sea, transports it along. Some fruits in nature are transported by birds and animals, the details of which I will not go into. But suffice it to say, this is the dispersal of seeds. In other words, plants making the harvest happen. We call this a natural thing. Actually, it's supernatural. It's incredible. And what the story we've heard from Jesus, that too is a dispersal of seeds. The same thing happens on farms. And farmers do this. Don't worry, these won't hurt. And I'm only going to throw this slot out so the cleaners of the church do not throttle me. But this, says Jesus, is what God is like. He's a disperser of seeds, the seed of his word and his work. And every moment he's doing this. He's chucking out his seeds in massive abundance. And a lot of it appears, according to this story, to get wasted. And yet God keeps doing it because he's an abundant God and he is looking to produce a crop multiplying, what does it say, 30, 60 or even 100 times. As plants disperse their seed, as Mr. Neil taught me, in all sorts of ways, God does this through all sorts of people. In the story you heard, the seed is God's word and work, his power. You're the soil. Are you good soil or not? God is looking for good soil through whom he can bring in what St. Paul, the New Testament, calls a spiritual harvest. At All Saints Church, like all of God's church throughout the world, we're called to bring in a spiritual harvest. What does that mean? Well, Galatians 6:9 gives a definition. St. Paul writes, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for then we will produce a harvest." What does he mean by good? Well, the previous verse, Galatians 6:8, says, when people sow to please the Spirit, when they use who they are to do what the Holy Spirit of Jesus wants, that the Holy Spirit smiles upon, that's working in partnership with God, that produces a spiritual harvest when the word and work of God is dispersed by his people. You will reap what you sow, says God's word. God wants to reap a spiritual harvest. Now, this morning, I'm going to introduce in just a moment Dora, who is Works for Compassion, is one of the partner organizations we work with. And at All Saints, we are looking for partner people with whom we can produce a harvest and we can do God's good together with them. If you know anything about us, you might know that we're partnered for many years with CAP. That stands for Christians Against Poverty. And that's helping people in the name of Jesus get debt free. That is sowing God's help. We partner with PCAN. That's just down the road in different ways. One of them is with the food bank. This food is going to the food bank. And the food bank, that's sowing God's love and provision, I guess, and lots of other things too. And in the last years, we've partnered with this organization called Compassion, which is a great example of sowing God's love into our young lives. We, in this country, without us probably appreciating it, have an incredible abundance of many things. You can see God's abundance in some of the provision in this country. In many parts of the world, we're dimly aware, perhaps, there is an economy of scarcity, including education, and Compassion is sowing God's provision and love through some of us into our young lives. I'm going to invite Dora to come up, who works for Compassion. We were going to show you a great video of our one child who's helped by Compassion. And this week we partnered with a delivery company who'll remain nameless. And sadly, the partnership didn't work out, so we couldn't wire up the new projector Jonathan Smith had to show you this great video. Instead, we've got you, Dora, with us. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us about Compassion and how you are partnering with us?
Right. So Compassion is a Christian child development organization, been in existence since the South Korean War, started off by an American evangelist, solely because he went to South Korea and there were children that were dying in their numbers. And he has a dialogue with God, questions, and God says to him, instead of asking me what I am going to do about it, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? 60 odd years, we do not run orphanages, but we partner with a local church currently in 26 countries because we believe, like it's been preached this morning, that Jesus places here on earth everyone that is a child of God. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's planted us here as seeds, seeds that are supposed to grow, seeds that are supposed to demonstrate his love and his kindness in a world where there's lots of chaos. And so by partnering with the churches in these 26 countries, we identify the poorest of the poor. We bring them together into what we call a compassion project. And those children, again, seeds that have been planted into the lives of different families who, for no reasons or choice of theirs, find themselves in positions where they're not even able to perhaps have a decent meal on the table. But through compassion, these children are being groomed so that they become oaks of righteousness, where they, because they've experienced the love of Christ, suddenly these children that perhaps didn't have food to eat find themselves going to a project where they have lunch to eat, they have breakfast, they're given a dessert, they have a loving environment. Some of them are coming from broken places. But the great thing is, as a church, as has been said this morning, you've been partnering with Compassion, and to date in the projects in Burkina Faso, 16 kilometers northwest of Ouagadougou, you're actually making an impact. You're sowing seeds of kindness and generosity into a local church where at least 42 children are being changed and transformed by members of this congregation. And so I'm here on behalf of Compassion, on behalf of the pastor who runs that project in Ouagadougou, to say a massive thank you to every single sponsor in this church, and most importantly, to this church. The first time I came here, I remember feeling that you're a church that is like a beacon of light, not only in Peckham, but reaching out. And I just want you to know that even as we're celebrating harvest, those children, 42 families' lives are being touched. You're a beacon of hope unto them. And it's all because of your generosity. So, Jonathan, a little token from Compassion, just to say thank you so very much for the lives that you're changing, for the lives that are being transformed. As sponsors, those of you sponsors, you may never get to meet them, but guess what? Every day they're praying. Every day they're praying and releasing a blessing, not only into your individual lives, but even into this church. And so, like we've heard today, there's definitely going to be a harvest. And I've got Ronnie here, who some of you may never know that Ronnie is actually a former Compassion graduate, i.e. a few years ago, he was in Compassion. And I've come here to say thank you, to encourage those of you sponsoring to continue sponsoring. And Ronnie's going to share a bit of his testimony about why you should never give up. Because like I said to you, those 42 children are oaks of righteousness because of the seeds that you're sowing.
Thank you. When I was told the projector is not working, I worked day and night to make sure I produce a very nice presentation to show you. But it's now working, so you can be able to see. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Ronnie. I'm married to Rachel, who works here and works for CAP. And 2008, I came into this country to work here as a children's worker. And for the last 2 years, I work in a school not so far away from here as a teaching assistant. Both these jobs are highly influenced by the fact that Compassion changed my life. Compassion changed my story. And I know it's a cliche that people, you know, use, but I wouldn't be standing here talking to you if Compassion hadn't intervened in my life. I've got a first slide there, if you can, there you go. Not that one, that one. My story starts in Uganda, Kampala, and I am the firstborn child of six children. And my start in life is just like the rest of the children, every child, born with hope, born with promise. You know, I don't know of a single parent who is about to give birth and thinks, oh, this child is not going to have a good future. And for me especially, it was special because my father is called Joseph and my mother is called Mary. I know. But, you know, growing up in that environment, what I didn't know then that I know now was that being born, you know, as six children with my father not a well-educated, my mother not well-educated, were the hardships that were going to that I was going to face, and a lot of these rotated around survival. You know, having one meal a day, you know, struggling to go to school, not having enough clothes. But the thing that I want to tell you most about was the education bit, because for me, I know that unlocks the key, breaks the chains of poverty. My father and mother, they hoped that, well, if we send maybe one, you know, with the little resources they can have, maybe if we send one or two to school, maybe that will be able to help. Maybe they will be able to help the others. They didn't know what would happen, but they just hoped. And sure enough, their hopes were squashed when my father lost his job. And, you know, going to school became a hurdle. Some days I would go to school, and a lot of times I would be sent back home with a man who would come, read out a list of names, my name is on the list. A lot of my friends will say, go back home, come back after you've paid school fees. Now, I really would rather have stayed in school, not because I love to be in school, but because I hated having to go back home. home was not a happy place to be. Home was a place of struggle. Home was a place of no happiness. I would rather have been in school because then at least you can take your mind off being at home. I spent a lot of my childhood wishing I was born to a different family. How I wished I was born in my friend Apollo's family. Apollo, you know, there are just three of them, and I was like, oh, I wish I was born in that family. You know, I wished I wasn't the firstborn child. I wished I had a different father. In fact, when my father left us, when I was about 10 or 11, as inwardly possibly thinking, there you go, ma'am, there's your chance. Get married to a rich man. I just wanted to be married to a, not married. I just wanted to be rich. I thought money would solve all these problems. But the change happened when compassion came into my life. And like with a lot of life journeys, you don't quite realize that that's when the change is happening. On this particular day, I was in school. Usual things that, you know, go to school hoping you won't be sent back home. The guy came, read out a list of names, and sure enough, my name was on the list. And we knew what was coming. Go back home, come back after you have paid school fees. But he didn't say that. He said, go to the head teacher's office. Now, I work in a school, and I kind of love to go to my, you know, head teacher's office, you know. It's a lovely place to go, but Chambogo Primary School in Kampala, if you're told to go to the head teacher's office, you've got to expect the worst. And so there we were, all of us, about 60 or 70 of us, walking this road. And this is a small school, so the head teacher's office is maybe 50 meters away. But it felt like we were walking for the whole day because we were anxious, we were fearful. We were expecting the worst. But when we got there, we got good news. And I've got a picture here to show you the next picture there. That's the picture that was taken an hour after my name had been read out, an hour after all my fears came crashing down on me, because that picture was a confirmation that I was going to get a sponsor. That's a picture that meant that I wouldn't have to worry about school fees anymore. I wouldn't have to worry about medical care anymore. That's a picture that kind of undid what poverty had done. What poverty had done before in my family was to kind of put a knife on the things that held us together. But this picture brought a lot of joy in our family. There are a lot of material things that we were given, shoes, blankets, mattresses, books, pens, clothes, lots of really nice material things. But I just want to say about three things that compassion gave me that I think the £25 a month that sponsors give is not enough to buy. The first thing was the hope that came into my family. My sponsor, I think, thought when she's sponsoring me, she's just sponsoring me. But actually what she did was to sponsor my siblings who looked up to me, who thought, oh, if he can make it, maybe I can make it. Was to give hope to my mother, to see, you know, as a single mother, to know that maybe this one child of hers is going to turn out like somebody. My sponsor, by sponsoring me, gave me that hope, that kind of light, that torch into the darkness. The second thing that happened was when I received my first letter from my sponsor, and she said that she loved me and that she's looking forward, you know, to sponsoring me, and she said that she thinks God has a plan for me. I cannot tell you how big an impact this had on me. I don't think I have the right words. But I felt special, I felt loved, I felt cared for. And these are things that drove me, you know, through my childhood, teenage age, to know that I was loved, I was special. In 1995, my sponsor wrote to me and said, what do you want to be when you grow up, when you finish school? We lived near a university growing up, and I told her I wanted to be a civil engineer. Not because I knew what it meant to be a civil engineer, but we used to live near the Department of Civil Engineering, and the guys that I saw that looked cool, happy, were the guys from the Department of Civil Engineering. I just wanted to be cool, so I said, yes, I want to be a civil engineer. And 12 years later, 2008, I think, 2007, in that same university, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. And the last thing that compassion gave me was the hope that never fades, as it says in the Bible. In 1997, I became a Christian for the very first time. And this, I can say confidently, this was highly influenced by the communication and the love my sponsor gave to me. My sponsor never ever mentioned anything about becoming a Christian, but how I wanted to emulate her, how I wished I could be like her, because I think she poured out a lot of love to me. And even now, you know, Rachel and I sponsor a girl from Burkina Faso, Kadigatou, and I can't tell you how much hope I have that maybe 20 years from now, or 15, or whatever, she will be standing up somewhere on a platform telling others about how compassion changed her life.
Awesome testimony. But this is why we do what we do, and this is why I came here this morning to say thank you. Thank you because every one of us has a seed. We live in a country where sometimes we want things like a nice house, you know, a massive bedroom. We want a flat screen TV. We want the latest car. We want the latest gadget. But for these children in the community where the church is partnering with, they earn £25 a month. And to sponsor a child, it costs £25 a month, and those children will be given access to education. Their medical needs will be taken care of. And like Ronnie shared, his sponsor had a seed of not just money, but a seed of love, a seed of generosity, of compassion. And that person decided, you know, I'm going to sow that seed. For however long that person decided to sow, they did that, and they were, you know, just sowing that seed and watering that seed. And as Ronnie's shared today, this is the outcome of what that generosity is. And each and every one of us here sitting here, you're probably already sowing. Maybe you have the opportunity to even sponsor another child. Just take that step of faith. If you've never been involved with compassion again, and perhaps you're saying £25 a month, I can't do it, you might be able to partner with somebody. We've got some photos at the end of the service. Please come and see us, chat to us. And if you really feel like you want to be another, give a child another opportunity, an opportunity to become an oak of righteousness, a beacon of hope, like Ronnie shared today, please come see us. God bless you so much. God bless you.
Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit of God from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is what we are about. Compassion is no less than one example of the sort of good we're called to sow.